Hello and welcome to another great story-filled episode of Musings on Golf. I'm Kelly Elbin. My co-host is the voice of golf, Bob Bupka. Hey, Robert, how can you not love being around and hearing from our guest today, Ann Liguori, whose career spans an iconic NFL pregame show to being the first woman to host a show on America's first all-sports radio station. Bob, you and Ann go a long way back. She now has a new book out called Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from Legends of Golf. We talked to her earlier, Bob. She's delightful. She's so many things that are positive about our game.
No, you're so right there, Kelly. And, you know, all you need to know about Ann Liguori when asked who she'd play a last round of golf with, she selected a mother who doesn't even play golf. But that's the kind of person that Ann Liguori is. And she's been a friend of mine nearly 30 years. And I've watched her really, really explode in the golf world. She does a great job. And we were very lucky to have her on Musings on Golf.
Hey, Bob, we hear the old saying about, you know, you have to have a passion for something. And what our listeners are going to hear shortly, she strikes me as a classic example of having a passion for sports, of having a passion for hard work, for having a passion to just get done what she needs to get done against whatever obstacles may be placed in front of her. There's a lot to be said for that, Robert, about anytime you're trying to deal with something in life, if you have a passion for something, if you really believe in yourself, man, you can go a long way.
Very well said, Kelly. And Ann Liguori never would let anything get in her way. She'd figure out a way to get the job done, and look what a career she's made. And now we got this great book for people to read. They're going to thank us for that.
And you're going to hear a terrific interview that Bob and I had with Ann Liguori right after this from our partners here on Musings on Golf. Our friends at William & Harry are always looking for ways to stand out in the crowd. So for anyone who belongs to a country club, William & Harry can have your shoes private labeled to fit your specific needs. The same applies to your company or any organization you might be affiliated with. This makes you a clear winner. Why? Well, you have a better quality shoe that feels great, and you have the logo of your club, company, or organization on your shoes that really makes you stand out on the golf course. To learn more, visit williamandharry.com today and be sure to input our promotional code 15OFF, M-O-G, for a 15% discount at williamandharry.com. Celebrating its 30th year, the South Florida PGA Golf Pass offers the ultimate summer golf experience with special access to more than 100 private, semi-private, and public golf facilities. From May 1st through October 31st, Golf Pass members can enjoy special low rates, exclusive member-only outings, special offers, and more. For just $60, you can purchase the South Florida PGA Golf Pass and instantly gain access to all these great benefits through the member-only app. It's simple. Pay, download, play. Visit sfpgagolf.com/golfpass for more information. That's sfpgagolf.com/golfpass.
Titleist is the number one ball in golf. Yes, being number one is a number, and more players trust the Pro V1 or Pro V1X than all other golf balls combined. But being number one is more than a number. It's a mindset. It's a relentless mission to design and manufacture the best performing golf balls in the game, so you can chase whatever your number one is. Titleist, the number one ball in golf.
Bob, we've been fortunate to interview several pioneers in our game here on Musings on Golf, and we're so pleased to add to our esteemed list by welcoming in our special guest today. Among her many accomplishments, she was the first woman to host a call-in sports show on what was our country's first all-sports radio station. Now, She's the author of a new book that focuses on storytelling from a dozen of America's most celebrated golfers based on her interviews with them. What a pleasure to welcome Ann Liguori to Musings on Golf. Ann, how much fun have you had sharing the great stories of our game with so many celebrated athletes?
Well, first of all, it's an honor to be on with you both. And it was an honor to interview the 12 legends in this book, Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from Legends of Golf. I picked six women and six men. And it's really all about, you know, what they bring from their iconic golf careers that they use in their day-to-day life. So it's a lot about life wisdom, life lessons, and a lot of great stories that they shared. Padraig Harrington, Jack Nicklaus, Bernard Langer, Ben Crenshaw, Tom Watson, Gary Player, Jan Stevenson, Annika, Nancy Lopez, Amy Alcott, Dottie Pepper, Renee Powell. And, you know, they all were just so wonderful. And then, as you mentioned earlier, Jim Nance wrote the foreword. So just what a pleasure to talk with all of them. And what they share in this book is really goes beyond golf. It's very uplifting, which is what I was really, you know, shooting for. We live in such a divisive time, right? And I wanted it to be positive and uplifting, and it really transcends golf, right? With really positive, uplifting messages.
You know, it's amazing. When I think of Ann Liguori, that's what I think of, uplifting and positive. And I must share, I believe it was the first time we really hooked up. Ann was on the phone. I was in the media center, and she puts the phone down a second and says, "Bob, would you like to go on a fan trip to Spain?" I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah." I thought she was kidding. So I said, "Heck yeah, when do we leave?" So lo and behold, we end up in Spain on a fan trip coordinated by the great Ann Liguori. And boy, we had a blast there. And it led to a long time friendship. And Ann's been one of the dear people out there. Every time I would need something, she'd be the first one to come along and provide that. And I'm so excited about your new book, Life on the Green, Legends and Wisdom from the Legends of Golf. What should our listeners look forward to when they read this book, Ann?
You know, you have been in the golf business for so many years, as all of us have been, right? And yet I have not heard a lot of the stories that these legends told me. And a lot of the, you know, for instance, Padraig Harrington reveals that he's not only nervous when he goes to the first tee, he's fearful, which just blew me away. I mean, Padraig Harrington, three-time major champion, still playing, still winning, and he gets nervous and fearful. He's fearful that his game won't show up that particular day. And, you know, he was just, I thought that was very revealing from Padraig. And he talks about embracing that fear. And he talks about the name of his chapter is Embrace Fear and Nerves and Learn from Your Mistakes. So we can all relate to, you know, what this incredible champion is sharing about himself. And then Tom Watson talks about learning from the best. He talks about picking mentors that are the best. And, you know, who his mentors were: Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, and Byron Nelson. I mean, you don't get any better than that, right? No. And so every chapter has its own kind of theme. And ironically, they all came up with different words of wisdom. I didn't have to kind of maneuver them to say something different than the next person. And it just goes to show you how much, you know, you learn from golf. Golf is just like a metaphor for life. And we continue to learn about the game. We can never really learn enough about golf and about ourselves, right? And that's why I just love the sport so much. Jan Stevenson talks about goal setting your way to success. Amy Alcott talks about being the captain of your own ship. And of course, Jack Nicklaus, put family first and integrity is paramount. So everybody has various lessons that they learn from their golf careers that they use in their day-to-day lives. And then they throw in great stories that I haven't heard before, and I've been covering golf for over 30 years. So I'm very happy that they felt relaxed enough and just, you know, just open enough to share sides of them that are seldom seen.
You've interviewed many, many remarkable athletes over the course of your career. Mickey Mantle, Ted Williams, Wilt Chamberlain, Sam Snead, the list goes on and on. But unbelievably so, you got your start on the NFL Today, one of the biggest football shows ever. How did that come about?
Yeah, that's interesting. I was right out of college. I went to University of South Florida in Tampa. I'm from Ohio, a small town in Ohio, and I went south for college. And then I earned a fellowship, which brought me right to New York City, right to the Big Apple out of college. Here I was, a small town girl, no money, no family in New York City. I knew nobody. And I did this fellowship program for, I think it was like an 8-week program. They picked 20 graduates around the country to come to New York. And then I had to get a job. And a lot of people did not stay in New York because back then there were, you know, it wasn't like there were all these cable channels and social media outlets. There were only, what, 4 networks at the time, right? And so I was able to get a freelance position at CBS Sports. And I was working on the NFL Today show. And ironically, Phyllis George, you know, Miss America, was one of the hosts back then, Jane Kennedy. So I could see women actually doing sports, which was so rare back then in television, right? And certainly not in radio. So I happened to get a freelance job as kind of like a production assistant. And I worked as much overtime as I could just so I could pay the rent every month.
That was, I mean, the NFL Today show, I mean, and with Musburger and with Jimmy the Greek and with Irv Cross and with Phyllis, to land that,
yeah,
was a very cool starting point for you, right?
Very fortunate, because I have to say, during this fellowship program, as I say, they picked 20 graduates to come to New York, and we had these what were called informational sessions, interview sessions. And so they'd give us opportunities to kind of go to different networks and different areas, not only in television, but, you know, PR and advertising. And I always knew I wanted to do what I'm doing now since I was very, very young. But a lot of people, it was good to kind of be educated about other areas of media. And the second we had an informational session at CBS Sports, and they showed the fact that they're the network of the Masters and that all the Super Bowls that they were doing, and, you know, back then, the Olympics and all these incredibly just glamorous events that I always followed when I was a kid watching on TV, I thought, I'm hooked. If I can get a position here, this is where I need to be. And sure enough, one of the gentlemen who organized that session, I kept in touch with him, Don O'Brien. He still writes me Christmas cards every year. And I'm talking, this goes back to 1982. He gave me the opportunity to work on this NFL Today show. And again, it was only a freelance position. I was there for a year. I knew I wanted to go on air. So I needed to get a lot more experience away from the network because I was literally right out of college. So I ended up freelancing at ABC Radio Network after that and went from a producer eventually to an on-air position. But that first job at CBS Sports was incredible. I was very fortunate.
Well, the second job Ann Liguori landed was incredible also and well-deserved. She goes to work for Golf Channel. How'd that come about?
Well, that came a little later after my work at ABC Radio Sports Network. And then WFAN started in 1987. And, you know, through the years, this guy named Michael Whalen, who was one of the originals at the Golf Channel, you know Michael, right? And I'm praying for his health because he's not well right now. He has cancer. He's been struggling with cancer for a number of years. But I had worked with him on Wimbledon and the U.S. Open when he was at HBO Sports and some boxing events too. So I was a statistician for HBO on Wimbledon, on the U.S. Open, boxing. And years later, he calls me. He had followed my career and he said, "And we're starting a channel called the Golf Channel, and it's going to be 24/7 golf." And he said, I love your show, Sports Interview. We love your show on WFAN. Would you like to put a TV show together for the Golf Channel?" And I said, "Absolutely." Now, the Golf Channel wasn't even on the air at this point, but in 5 minutes, I came up with the idea that I would interview celebrities who have a passion for golf, not the pro golfers, because everybody, all these other shows at the Golf Channel were going to be, you know, about the professional players. And I thought, what can I have to come up with something that's different. So I said, "Michael, I will get A-list celebrities to come on my show. I'll interview them while I golf with them. It, you know, golf is such a great vehicle to get to know somebody." And he loved the idea. Now, I promised him I'd get A-list celebrities. And so, of course, they had to come through with that, right? So, and I booked all the guests myself. I got Sylvester Stallone. He was my first guest. Kevin Costner. Tin Cup had just come out. Joe Pesci. Matthew McConaughey, Celine Dion, Samuel L. Jackson. So it was a great run. We did it for about 6 years, prime time every week. And yeah, I worked my butt off to, you know, get those guests to deliver the personalities that I promised him I'd get. And we were the precursor to David Faraday's show. We were on
yes,
before David's show. But yes, the problem was, a lot of cable systems didn't carry the Golf Channel the first 6 years. So a lot of people, unfortunately, didn't see Conversations with Ann Liguori. So I ended up putting all those interviews in my first book called A Passion for Golf, Celebrity Musings About the Game. And they're all the interviews from that TV show. And it was a lot of fun, but it was early in the going. So a lot of people don't remember that show. Do you remember that show? I mean, it was the first 5-6 years that the channel was on.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what I do remember, the hard work and dedication that you've put into your foundation, hosting it quite often out at Maidstone. The people of Maidstone fell in love with you and your charitable outlets, and you had so many great guests come out there. And after a few years, that was the big invite that everybody wanted. They'd be saying to one another, "Did you get invited to Ann Liguori's tournament? If you didn't get invited, you felt bad." That has been a tremendous success, Ann, and you deserve a lot of credit for that.
Bobby, thank you. It means a lot to me. I unfortunately lost my dad to cancer when I was in college. He was only 63. Then a year and a half later, my brother died of leukemia. He was only 22 at the time. It was literally right as they came to New York, and all this happened, you know, so, my dad 1 year and my brother a year and a half, 2 years later. So obviously I was affected directly by cancer, and my brother had leukemia. So when the American Cancer Society asked me if I would host a tournament at West Hampton Country Club, I had just come out here and bought a house in West Hampton. I lived in the city, but I was able to get a house out here in the mid to late 90s. And I'm like, wow, West Hampton Country Club, that's 5 minutes away. Of course I'll host a charity golf event for the American Cancer Society, a very important mission. And then about 10-12 years into that, a friend of mine in the not-for-profit space encouraged me to put my own foundation together so we could help a variety of different not-for-profits. And our mission is to, you know, raise funds and awareness for cancer research and cancer care. So 2025 will be our 27th straight Ann Liguori Foundation Charity Golf Classic. We haven't decided where we're doing it yet. We were at Friar's Head the last couple of years, and then before that, Maidstone. But we try to go all over to all this. There's so much, as you know, prestigious courses out here on the East End that, you know, Atlantic, The Bridge, Savonic, West Hampton Country Club, you know, Southampton. So I still have to organize 2025. But wow, we have there's so many great golf courses out here. And, you know, the golf industry is so generous. We get all these club manufacturers to donate prizes, beautiful drivers and irons, putters, golf balls. All you have to do is make a phone call. And they're just so supportive. You know, it's just such a wonderful industry that we're in, golf. So charitable.
You know, it's amazing, Ann. I know the golf course layouts out in the East End very well, having been brought up out there. I make the statement, you could throw a dart, and whatever golf course it landed on, it would be a huge success.
I mean,
one is just as good as the other. I mean, there is no all-time great. Of course, Shinnecock gets that honor probably because it's the best open test in the country. But, you know, the list goes on, National and, you know, East Hampton Golf Club and Maidstone, like you said, Noyak. I could go on for a long time, but it's just, it's such a pleasure to have you on here on Musings on Golf. Kelly and I have been meaning to try and corral you for quite a while, and we feel very blessed now to finally get you, and we're all excited about the book, and I know in advance it's going to do very well.
Well, thank you. You can order it on Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. Amazon, you know, you order it today, it will be at your front door in, what, a day or two. So it's easy to get. Life on the Green, Lessons in Wisdom from Legends of Golf. And you know, Bobby, you're such a legend in the business, and you're such a dear friend. As you mentioned, that trip we went to the south of Spain. How much fun was that? And just seeing you and Janice and all the, you know, media rooms across the country and overseas. I mean, it's so great to catch up with you. And Kelly, it's just to have you both, you know, hosting this show. It's just such a treat to see all of you, really, to visit with all of you. So I can't thank you enough. This is awesome.
We've had a lot of fun. Ann Liguori. And by the way, you have to be one of the great entrepreneurs in sports broadcasting. And it isn't just golf, which is obviously the focus of our show, and your new book, Life on the Green, Lessons in Wisdom from Legends of Golf. Look, I grew up, you know, as the son of a golf professional, but sports was always a massive part of my life. I went on to be a sports reporter for a local newspaper, working for the PGA of America. You've always been passionate about sports, right?
It
is.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, golf is a part of what you do. But please talk a little bit about you, particularly as a woman, breaking through on this whole concept way back in the day of all sports radio station called The Fan in New York. How you got that gig, and again, and this was way before the world we live in. So with all that against you, but yet the determination that you had. Why did it work? Why did they say, yeah, I'll get involved with you? What was it?
Let me answer that question. Ann Liguori, from day one, had the secret sauce, and it's called talent. People enjoyed her being on the radio. People enjoyed her more being on television. But she did that because of that secret sauce of possessing the right talent. She made her guests feel warm. She asked the good questions. The listeners got a lot out of it. That's why I worked there, Kelly Elbin. Don't you ever forget it.
Thank you, Bobby. And also, the work ethic and the determination. Don't get me wrong, for every one sponsor that came in, and I have stories about every meeting and everything I had to overcome, for every one sponsor that came in for that show and Sports Interview aired for 17 years, I'd have to go to knock down doors for, you know, to get meetings with 20 people. I don't know how I did it. I really don't. There were so many times when I thought I'm going to go back to Cleveland and, you know, live at home. And I mean, I was living in Manhattan, the most expensive city on the planet. And, you know, going to the ATM machine and taking $20 out just to, you know, that would have to last me for a week. You know, I look back and it was sheer determination and passion for doing it. And honestly, I got great guests. I had a book A-list talent. And, you know, you mentioned Mickey Mantle, Ted Williams, Hank Aaron, Will Chamberlain, Bart Starr, John McEnroe. I mean, I was in my 20s interviewing a lot of the guys who were much older, Jim Brown, and they were so willing to tell their stories. And you know, I did a lot of research and I did my homework. I went to that interview knowing more about that person than that person knew about himself or herself, right? And I don't know, I just really had to, I don't know where my 20s and 30s went. I just worked my ass off.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, to your point, like that, not only making the guest feel good, but that the homework that went into it, right? The guest, the interviewer is only going to be as good as the knowledge that he or she has going into an interview. Otherwise, you're just sort of asking questions.
Well, yeah. Anne was very good at researching all of her guests, and that's why those interviews came out real well. You know, Kel, I'm dying to find out who Anne Liguori would play that round of golf with.
We ask this question every show in terms of a dream foursome. Like who would round out three people that you would play with, whether living or deceased, and to play that dream foursome, where you would play it. And I have to tell you, and Bob and I know this, we've had some really cool answers. And sometimes it's notable players, sometimes it's family members. So who would round out Anne Liguori's dream foursome, and where do you play that great round of golf?
You know, based on my show on the Golf Channel, I was talking about, you know, I've already played with Kevin Costner and Celine Dion and Matthew McConaughey and, you know, all these superstars, right? And, but if I could play my dream round, you know, and be certainly my family, I'd love to play with my mom. She didn't play golf. I'd love to play with my dad. He didn't play golf. And my brother would be in that foursome as well, just to have the opportunity for all of us to be together again. You know, my mom and dad were my heroes. My mom was the only one of five children. Her parents were German immigrants. She was the only one of five kids to go to college, and she got her master's degree, and she raised four children, and she lived to be 95. We lost her a couple years ago. And
so, you know, my mom did as well, right? I can relate.
Yeah. Right? And she's just my hero. She was just, you know, my best friend. So if I could get my mom, my dad, and my brother back on this on earth, and we go out and play golf, it just means, you know, spending more time with three of the most special
people. So where are you going to tee it up with them? Where are you going?
Well, I have to say, I mean, as many great golf courses that we have out here in the East End and in this country, I'd go to Ireland. Ireland, everybody asks me my favorite golf course, and I say Ireland. I just love playing golf in Ireland. The links courses there are second to none. They have one third of the world's links courses are in Ireland. And where would I go? Gosh, there's so many. I'll say Carn Golf Club, which is on the western tip of Ireland.
Cool. Really?
You've been to Carn, right? C-A-R-N-E.
Yeah.
And the dunescape is as high as some skyscrapers, right? It is just such an incredible topography. And the people there, well, everybody in Ireland is so hospitable and so sweet. I would go to Carn. Honestly, I have to say, they made me an honorary international member this past year. They had us come over. They bought 300 books. I was a keynote speaker before the former prime minister spoke, and he was had a great gift of speech. So I'm glad I went before him. But, you know, they're just wonderful people. It's in this very small town, and there's a pub in the town of Balmullet. The owner is not only a musician and plays at his own pub, but he's also the village mortician.
He plays.
He's got it covered from start to finish, huh?
Exactly. So, you know, it's just, I just love Ireland. We have the opportunity to go over a couple times a year, you know, from Dune Bay to Ardglass to Royal County Down, Donegal. There's just so many great golf courses over there. So I'd love to get my mom, my dad, and my brother all go out on a trip to Ireland and play some of these great links courses.
Well, you brought a tear to my eye with that response, Anne Liguori. We can't thank you enough. for being a very, very special guest on Musings on Golf. Kelly, you wrap it up and say goodbye.
And this has been a real treat. And before we came on, we were chatting and Bob being very proud of his Long Island heritage. So you've got the 2025 Ryder Cup going to Bethpage. And please give us a sense of how, and it will be, how crazy that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday next September will be as the U.S. tries to reclaim that Golden Cup.
It's going to be fun. I mean, New Yorkers are passionate. They're respectful. They're very knowledgeable about the game. But, you know, they're also very patriotic. They're going to cheer hard and loud for the Americans. And Bethpage is going to bring out the best of New Yorkers and beyond. If they can afford the ticket prices.
Yeah, I saw that. I know.
Which they can. They're so passionate about golf here, as Bobby knows, here in New York. They just love the game. And we've been to PGA Championships and U.S. Opens at Bethpage. And it's loud and it's exciting. But for the Ryder Cup, which is the best of any international competition out there, it is going to be incredible. So,
it's such a unique place there too, isn't it? The golf course, the whole setup being a state park, it's perfect for that kind of massive event.
It's perfect logistics wise, for the kind of people they're going to bring in, you know, the number of people. It's a very challenging, long golf course. It's a public golf course, which, you know, it's very important to point out, right? And then the following year, the U.S. Open, they're back at Shinnecock in 2026. So golf will definitely be on the map here in New York, and can't wait.
Bobby, you won't be too excited about the 26 Open at Shinnecock, will you?
Well, he did the first one in 1986, so why not do it in 2026?
No question.
She is the best in the business. We appreciate it, Kelly and I, tremendously, and she does a great job. You did a great job being our guest tonight, Ann, and we truly appreciate it. You're looking great. Just keep up the good work. Buy the book, people. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. Anything that Ann puts her hand to, it's going to be quality stuff. Thank you, Ann.
Thank you so much. I so enjoyed it. Really, it's always great to visit with you both.
Just like you, I want to look good and perform at my best on the golf course. And that's exactly why I wear the new WH golf shoes from William & Harry, and you should too. Folks, I love these golf shoes. They're made of deerskin and calfskin. They've got a soft gel insert, and the reinforced hardened soft spikes increase stability and balance. And I got to tell you, they are so incredibly comfortable. So head on over to williamandharry.com to check out the new WH golf shoe. Look your best, play your best with William & Harry. Hey, Robert, like you said going into it, Anne, very special woman, very driven woman. I did love her comments about who she would play with in a special round of golf. There's just a lot to like about her and her commitment and love for the game.
Well, one thing I've grown to fully appreciate over the years, to know Ann Liguori is to like Ann Liguori. To know Ann Liguori is to admire Ann Liguori. She has made a wonderful career for herself, and we certainly appreciated her taking some time out of her busy schedule to accommodate us on Musings on Golf.
And Bob, she talked a lot about what the game means in general. And I want to share with our listeners, I talked a couple of days ago with Mallory Crossan, our friend with the PGA of America, and Mallory and Julius Mason with the PGA. We're up at Congressional Country Club outside of Washington for a really special event for PGA Hope, with proceeds going to support our veterans through various means in golf. And Jack and Barbara Nicklaus were there. And they had a time where Jack spent with the veterans. He did some putting. It was really, really kind of cute and so forth. But Bob, It just goes back to the way that golf touches our lives in so many ways, and to be able to utilize golf to help those who served our country. Bob, I don't really know if there's a more worthy example of what golf can do.
No, you're so right there, Kelly. And there's no question, when you look over the landscape of sports, golf has done more for charity probably than all the other sports put together.
Yeah.
It started out that way. It continues that way. And I think it's only going to grow bigger and bigger in its charitable outlets.
I agree with you completely. Bob, great being with you again. It was wonderful to hear from Ann Liguori. Look forward next week. Damon Hack from Golf Channel will be our guest. Looking forward to having him with us. Quite an interesting career. And I think his stories prior to Golf Channel and during his time at Golf Channel are going to be ones that you all really enjoy. For the voice of golf, Robert Bupka, Kelly Elbin signing off on Musings on Golf.